All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Mississippi Politics, The Divide. Now, I know it's been a while that I have done this, but since we have a handful of time on our hands with the coronavirus, I decided to take some time and to invest back into giving my listeners what they want, to hear the news. So for today, we will be talking about the coronavirus and how it has affected Mississippians. I am sitting down today with a well-informed individual and an everyday Joe. His name is Clint Spencer Jr. How are we doing, Mr. Spencer?
I'm well today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Mr. Spencer, can you please tell our listeners about your occupation?
Well, currently, during the quarantine, I'm unemployed. But before this, I was a Nissan technician at the Cannon facility.
Right. Now I would like to bring to my listeners' attention that I am a resident of Hinds County. Now, first off, the first thing we're going to be talking about is the number of cases so far in Mississippi. So far, we have a total of 4,274 cases in Mississippi with a death rate of 159. Now, upon doing some cross-referencing research, I found that the top four counties with cases is Hinds County, the largest county in Mississippi, with 325 cases. We have DeSoto County, a large county, with 220, Jackson County with 201, and a Lauderdale with 109 confirmed cases. So the first thing we're going to talk about is, how is this affecting the lives of everyday life of Mississippians? So, Mr. Spencer, if you don't mind bringing to our attention, how has this affected you?
Well, I can say that the biggest effect, first off, is now because of the COVID-19 virus, my job had to shut down, and we're basically unemployed. So we're now going through the system like everyone else and applying for unemployment and getting by. But that, and I can say that the quarantine, you know, there's a lot of places that you just can't go, things you can't do, and you're basically just in the house with whatever supplies you have.
And so in talking about this in quarantine, I'm glad that you brought it up. As we are both residents of Hinds County, bringing it to our listeners' attention that here in the Jackson area, the mayor, Chukwue Lumumba, brought to the attention of residents that there is a shelter-in-place order put in place by the governor of Mississippi, Tate Reeves, as well as there being all essential businesses are allowed to stay open, but non-essential businesses are closed. So what's that been looking like so far? Basically, it's, as the name suggests, essential businesses, food markets, car repair places. Essential businesses are allowed to be open, while places that you would go to for fun, I guess, they've been closed. And if they're not closed, they've offered different services. I myself, in terms of going to restaurants, you can't sit down anymore. I feel like this is an effective means for this matter, because we do not want to be able to create the implosion of more people being able to get this virus. So we're going to talk about the future actions regarding the opening of businesses. So in Mississippi, it has been put forth out by our governor, that around the time of April 30th, near towards the end of this month, they hope to be able to start opening things back up. Do you care to comment on this? How do you feel this action will go, and whether or not you feel like this is a safe option?
No, I don't believe this is a safe option. Number one, though you had the numbers from the counties, there's not widespread testing being done. You can't say that even one out of 10 people in Jackson or Hinds County have been tested. To jump to conclusions that this is a safe time to open it, I really believe this is just a push to try to start the economy for political reasons. I don't think that they're taking into the welfare and the health of actual people and the residents of Mississippi. The Ross Barnett Reservoir opened today, and they're asking people, oh yeah, you can go to the Ross Barnett, but practice social distancing. I don't think a lot of people are taking to heart of how serious this is, and that they just want to go out and fish and get back on with their lives. And I understand the appeal to that, but we must first of all put the health and safety of the majority of people in the forefront. This is too early to try to get back together and get things started up. There is no vaccine for the virus. Testing is not where it should be. And though those numbers are high or low or what you consider, you don't really actually know the real numbers, because the only people being tested are those with symptoms. And this virus can be asymptomatic and still be a carrier. That means that you can go about your daily life not feeling sick, not having a temperature, but you can still be spreading the virus to others. I don't think that this is a good time, because the virus is not wholly understood. There is no vaccine. There is no inoculation. The only thing that we actually have in place is social distancing.
And in talking about how you just said with the quarantine, how we have social distancing, I've had conversations with other fellows talking about the economy and being able to bring the economy back, because what we don't want is to be able to enter into a place of recession once again. But don't you feel that, like, you do, would you agree with how you just said in caring for the fellow man, that there is no economy if there's no people there to invest in, if there isn't people there to spend, what use is an economy?
Well, if you look at it and look at the history of diseases and plagues and stuff like that, if you look at it back into where, I guess when they had the Black Plague, and I think it was millions of people died. I don't know the exact percentage of Europe died. Of course, the economy is going to be affected. But if you keep getting people out and more and more become infected, your economy will never recover. You have to first stem the flow of the virus. You have to first have a cure or some way to contain or control it before you can worry about the economy. A lot of this is just a political thing, because, yes, the politicians look bad and the economy looks bad. But are you worried about your re-elections, or are you worried about the actual people?
Well, are they not both important factors? Because you just said it yourself that the politicians are worrying about their elections. And do they not have a right to rightfully so? Because,
well, I'll say this. What are your priorities? If you're saying that the economy is my priority and getting everyone back to work, and it causes a huge spike in the virus and more people get sick and more people start dying, and then what would happen then? You would have to go back to a sterner form of social distancing, which would incline that your economy will then again crash. We're going into a recession. There is no doubt about it. That's going to happen. But can we come out of the recession with more people alive and healthy? You're not going to stop the recession, but I think people will look at how you handled the epidemic more than just the economy. If you rushed everyone back to work and more people got sick, then they would look at it, oh, you're a failed politician. But if you took time enough to worry about the disease and the people, I think more people will have a brighter outlook on you as a politician, because you actually care for your constituents.
Right. Thank you for that valid opinion. So as we're dealing with the situation, in terms of quarantine being the new normal, in talking about solutions to our problem, right now we have hundreds of thousands of people who are strained to being relegated to staying in their homes. So do you feel like there's Let's talk about solutions. Like, do you feel like there could be a solution to being able to provide work for people now in terms of with the quarantine? Because, for example, I know with teachers, for example, a lot of teachers are able to do Zoom, allowed to do phone calls with students to help that. But I guess in terms of people who don't have those type of jobs, what do you think? Do you think that there should be a solution starting to be put in place, or do you feel like it would be better to just kind of, I guess, wait it out?
Well, it depends on what job you have. Some jobs are essential workers, but let's look at the essential workers. They're basically putting their lives on the line to try to keep the country going.
Right, because they have families.
Well, not only that they have families, because if the essential workers stopped, let's say if the nurses and doctors stopped going to the going to work because of quarantine, or firefighters, or police officers, or even the guys at the grocery store, then you would not only have a recession, then you would have chaos and anarchy.
Chaos and anarchy? Can you please expound upon this?
Okay, if you had nowhere to go when you were sick, let's say if you did get the virus and you couldn't breathe, and you had no doctors to call, no nurses to call, no ventilators, no hospitals, no paramedics, if a fire starts off at the end of the neighborhood and firefighters are social distancing, they're not coming to work, or police officers, then your whole system starts to break down. You no longer have emergency services. Then people who run the water companies, the gas companies, the electric, all of those, if they all go home and say, well, we can't go to work, then your not only will your economy crash, your whole architecture of your society will crash. Then you would have chaos and anarchy. No one can get food. No one can get services. So then we would have a period of confusion. But as things break down, people would become more and more subject to violent behaviors. Basically, you would revert back to a, I wouldn't say a caveman type mentality, but
a simple type of government.
But a survivalist mentality. If someone else has it and you need it, you would probably take it from them.
Right. So getting back to, because you said earlier in terms of the quarantine and how you were talking about the Ross Barnett Reservoir, and you said it was a bad idea, and the mentality that we should have is being able to care for our fellow man. So in these situations, like you just said, because I know individuals who have essential jobs, like working at GMC, GMC Motor, General Motors, they have decided to take off because they have families. They have newborns, they have children in their house, they have a wife. So
that's getting back to what I said. You have to start caring about the people. It's not, this is not something that's separated from everyone else. If you have it, and you go to work and you get it, you potentially could take it home and affect some of the more vulnerable members of your family.
Right.
And then they'll go out, and then they'll affect someone else, and then they'll go out, and they'll affect someone else. And then this is how the pandemic started. You have to look at it. From the origins of China, this has went worldwide. This isn't isolated in one country. This is everywhere now.
Right.
So now we have to look at it as this is a highly contagious disease. We don't know how to treat it. We barely have enough tests to test a fraction of the population. What are we going to do? The best thing that the experts have come out with is social distancing.
And the funny thing about it is how you just said. So in looking at other countries, each country has its own severity, right? But we can see in certain countries with, in terms of looking at their severity of the situation, some countries have been able to act upon the situation better than others. So it's a unique function in America because we value our freedom so much. We value the right to be able to go out. We value the right of free speech. And in looking at certain states, for example, Florida. Florida has started to open back some of its beaches. Places like Texas have started opening back some of its entertainment places. At what point then should the federal government step in, I guess, to say, to be able to say that the needs of the many over the wants of the few are more important? Why is this something that's not being pushed?
I think it has been, but let's look at our current political climate. We have a president that wants to be reelected, and he knows that the only way that he would be reelected is if the economy is back up and running. So he's pushing these narratives that's just, okay, just go out. He's even said, okay, there we should social distance, and this is the what the federal government has said. But then he tweets out, you should rebel against it and everything. He's sending out mixed messages. And it's a political thing. It's not caring about the people. It's caring about his reelection numbers. He was even pushing a drug that no one even knew if it worked. We cannot rely. This cannot be politicized. Some things cannot be politicized. This isn't the health of a one or two person deal. This is the health and the welfare of our entire human race.
Right.
This cannot be politicized. Every country that this is going in, they started their social distancing. We were behind the curve.
Right.
So right now, we're at the top of the curve. Everyone else's numbers are going down. Well, there are some spikes where people have... Well, let's take a look at it. I think some other countries have eased up on their social distancing, and the coronavirus spikes have started to raise back up. We have to take a look at this and realize that if we jump the gun too early, we will have be in a worse shape than we were before when this first started. We have to take time to let this, those people who have it, see, they're taking tests now to see if you even have any, you may have antibodies against this. You may have had it and you may be able to go to work. But let's take the time to find out. You cannot rush this.
Right, right. It's been brought out in certain reports that example of this was brought up in terms of President Trump's coming into office that the remaining Obama officials, that they did bring a potential threat like this to the Trump administration. Do you feel like there should be accountability in terms of the Trump administration? Because if this problem was brought to the forefront and it was pushed to the side, and now that we have this problem now, do you feel like overall, we want to be able to contain it, and we do want to deal with it. But in terms of the future, do you feel like there should be accountability?
Well, I'm getting back to my original statement. We can't politicize this. Regardless on what side of the aisle you fall, you know, if Trump is making mistakes, we'll all will suffer. If he does the right thing, we will all profit. But this isn't, we cannot politicize this. This has to be a concern that is understood and handled by both sides of the parties. You cannot just say, okay, the right wing will not be affected and the left wing won't be affected.
Right.
We all will. So if he dropped the ball, okay, that's fine. Let's pick it up and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not politicize this particular issue.
Right.
So when all is said and done, when you get to a point in this epidemic or pandemic where we are stable, have a vaccine, or then we can start pointing fingers. So what happened? Where did we go? How did we do this? Let's not do this again.
Right.
But for right now, let's put the politics aside and worry about the people.
Right. I wholeheartedly agree. And I thank you for bringing that to our attention. I guess with this event, an important question that I would like to ask you that we can conversate it is, like, in terms of like future legislation, because do you feel like now that we've seen this epidemic and now that we're going through it, personally, I feel like this will be a wake up call to America, because there are several states even now where ventilators are low, there aren't enough supplies, even face mask itself is hard to come by, or even tissue for that matter. How do you feel like this will be able to affect the future of our legislation here in America now that we've gone through this?
honestly, I don't see anything of significance coming from it. There were plans that were in effect, and they just weren't used. Like I said, we're not going to politicize it. We're not going to point fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But we had three prior pandemics, and there were systems in place. They just weren't used.
Right.
But I can't see anything new coming out of this. You know, shortages happen. You know, surpluses and people hoarding. And that's what a lot of things are going on. People are hoarding. It's not like before you buy one roll of tissue. Now people are buying 40 rolls of tissue.
Right.
Because someone told them that you wouldn't have any tissue. So they're buying it all. That's just hoarding. That's not, you don't need a legislative bill for hoarding. You just, people need to have common sense.
No, not so much, but for the hoarding, but in terms of the medical supplies and the medical, in terms of the medical supplies put in place, do you feel like?
Would, if they said they needed ventilators, no one saw this coming. No one knew that, oh, we need more ventilators because something else may come along and you may need another medical device. Well, I can't say that we need to stockpile everything for every potential contingency, but I do believe that
the threats we can see, we should prepare for.
Well, I think that, like I said, there were a lot of things that were just overlooked and not handled correctly. I believe that the president should have enacted the, there was an act, I forget what he calls it, but you know, you can, the president can say, tell a company, well, you have to make this. We will have to make this. Like they have GM making ventilators now.
Right.
So
talking about executive order?
No, it's not an executive order. It's an actual act. I forget. I don't know the exact name of it, but there's an actual act that you can, the president has. It's a War Times Act. Like back in World War One or Two, when, the government needed more people to make bombs and weapons. They would pretty much take over a factory and have the factory change from making wash machines to making the parts for the military.
Okay.
So that should have been done earlier. That should have been done. Okay, we see this is coming up. We know we're going to need this. We need to have these guys step up and start doing this early. I think a lot of things, like I said, I think we're behind the curve. Because it wasn't taken seriously enough. It was this virus was politicized from the beginning as, you know, you're trying to wreck my economy, you're trying to
right.
hurt my political stance, and it shouldn't have been taken. That's why we're at where we are at now. And we cannot continue to move in that direction. We have to be one people, Americans, right now. We can fuss over ideologies later. Let's make sure that we all survive.
Right. I guess in talking about this and talking about the coronavirus, there are certain communities. It's been brought to my attention, and I'm aware that both of us, we are both African American males, that certain communities were not being, did not take this serious at first, and not trying to politicize this. Earlier on during the coronavirus, it was brought up through social medias like Twitter, for example, saying that African Americans could not get the coronavirus. And this spread and it circled around a little bit until you had certain leaders like Van Jones and Idris Elba come out and basically saying to stop spreading these rumors. And as we see with the coronavirus, parts of the coronavirus affects peoples with medical history. So with the African-American community who has a history of high blood pressure and diabetes, we see higher risk. So I guess my question for you then is, where do you think this mindset comes from? Like, what is the purpose of these, starting these rumors?
To be honest, in the time in which we live, it's hard to actually get facts. You know, discernible facts. You know, you can get facts anywhere, but they may not be correct facts.
Right.
You know, and I've heard the same rumor of, oh, black people can't get it. But now when you look at it, we're suffering disproportionately higher than anyone else. Because just like they tell you, you know, you've heard the rumors of And this crazy rumors going out there, like, the virus isn't really a virus. It's caused by the 5G network. But all of this is just stuff.
Right.
That people
have. It's not facts.
It's not facts. Like, if you're getting stuff off of social media, Twitter, Facebook, you probably need to
fact check it
and look into it for some reputable sources.
At least two or three sources go and say.
Before you go off and run with it. Because if they told you, oh, you can't get it, and you go out and be careless and you come back with it. I've seen, and I hate to say, I'm not saying I told you so about things, but because these are people's lives. But there were pastors in some places saying, no, don't believe this. All you have to do is do this and this and everything. And then they died of it.
Talking about public gatherings.
Yeah, no, yeah, they're talking about public gatherings and all you got to do is pray about it and everything. And the pastor died of it. Some things need the attention that they deserve and not all of this mess. I mean, because I heard African Americans saying, "Well, because of the melanin in our skin, we're immune." And I looked at them and I shook my head, and I tried to talk to some of them
because a virus isn't.
There was no scientific data that said that you're immune to it because you have melanin in your skin because
of your pigmentation, right?
Exactly. In fact, because we are African Americans. And we are subject to certain things like how you said, heart conditions,
high blood pressure,
diabetes, and our other related illnesses that come along with typically being an African American. We're suffering disproportionately high, dying and being put on ventilators.
Right.
So you went from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum, all because of rumors. This is how we are losing this battle. Against COVID-19.
It's not our job as people, though, because the information can be put out there. Each individual has to make the decision whether or not you want to put investment in that information.
But I know what you're saying, that people should look it up for themselves. But let's be honest. That's not the day and time that people that we live in.
Right.
Most people see things flash from Twitter. A flash or something on Facebook.
So why not encourage them to take the extra step?
Because it should be done. It should be taught. But let's be honest. At this point in time, people aren't willing to go the extra step.
The extra mile.
To find out the truth. And, you know, you hear, oh, the media is fake and everything. Yeah, the media has bias, both sides, left, right, in between, whatever.
Right.
If you're not going to go and look it for yourself, then you will buy what they sell you. And someone comes up and someone that you admire or someone that you believe in or someone that you support tells you that let's say that I forgot the name of the drug, hydrochloroquine, whatever the Trump was pushing at first. There was no scientific data behind this. The CDC director didn't believe in it.
So I actually did a little research into that. So it was originally put out by a Fox News host, I believe. I believe that it was, I do not remember the name of the individual, but I do remember that it being a Fox News coverage. So at the time of the study, it wasn't brought to the attention that that study was within a small group of individuals, that the hydromorphine, the name slips my mind as well, that it's yes.
Well,
it was
there was a small study I know done in China, and from a small study, it didn't work. It worked for a couple of people.
Right.
But that was not a definitive study.
To say overall.
To overall that this works. And in the drug itself, if you had the underlying problems that...
It's used for people with, like, lupus.
Yeah, but just because one drug is used, it can be used for different things, but there was nothing... Just to say there was no facts to say that this drug worked for COVID-19.
Right.
And... In fact, that if you had a heart condition, when you had the underlying conditions that affect some minority groups, the drug was actually fatal. So it wasn't like it's a fix. It was just something that, okay, I'm going to throw this out there. And like I said, we have to stop being political about this disease. It's not for brownie points. These are not, oh yeah, I told you this would work and I'm trying to get reelected. We have to actually take time, put all our differences aside, and work together. No, it's not time to go back outside. Just because you want your constituents to be happy, it is not time to go back outside.
Mm-hmm.
No, as a black people, we cannot believe that because of our race, we are immortal and we are invincible because we're the black people. And no, we cannot jeopardize the human race for the sake of the economy. Because if the human race disappears, the economy disappears. Because if the economy disappears, the human race will still survive.
Right.
We survived before, we can survive during, and we can survive after. But the reverse cannot be said.
So, addressing your point, talking about the invincible, I wholeheartedly agree with you saying that we have to be aware, not just as African Americans, but overall, we have to be receptive, we have to be listening, and we have to be in tune and willing to go past the surface. So it's been brought to my attention, rather that African Americans aren't in a place to be able to sit down and in terms of the quarantine as much, because our income, for example, is at a much lower rate than white counterparts.
Well, I'm not going to say that. I mean, there are differences, and maybe in the overall, but this being Mississippi, there are poor people everywhere.
Right.
So we just can't say African Americans are just the poorest ones and we can't do this.
No. Frame that question right. In no way am I going saying that we are the poorest ones. I'm saying that not in a place to be able to, I guess, say, being able to take off as much because
I'm not going to say that. I'm going to tell you this much, that when you are a minority, or let me just say this, because I'm not going to go that route. When you're poor, you learn to get by with less. Maybe before your time, and maybe even before mine, but my grandparents would go out in the backyard and just kill a rabbit and feed 10 or 12 children. You know, you can learn to get by with less. As a society, we've become, I guess, lazy and greedy. You know, nowadays, it's like, oh, wow, I used to have toilet tissue. I can just go to the store and buy some. Now it's like I have only so much and I don't know when I'm going to get. So you're becoming more aware of how much you use and how much of waste you make.
Right.
So it doesn't have to do with race, color, religion. This is the new norm in society right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, you know, this is going to be for a while. Is it a bad thing? No, I think it's actually a good thing because we are a wasteful for society. If you go anywhere else in the world, you would see that, you know, the amount of food that we throw away could feed a family for a week.
Right.
So I really believe that, yes, this is a horrible thing. But when you get lemons, you make lemonade. People will learn to budget. Who is in a position to just sit at home and not work? That's why we have the insurances that we put into play in our system of government, such as unemployment, Social Security, welfare, SNAP benefits, so that in case things do happen like this, that the society won't fall apart.
Right.
So right now is a time, and it's no shame that there are a lot of people who are taking advantage of these programs. And I believe, yes, we need them. There are social safety nets, mm-hmm. and we need them. So there, you know, we just have to struggle together until we can come out on the other side of this.
So, like how you just said, being able to, like in your grandparents' day, you brought up the point of being able to do just as much with less.
Yes.
So, as times change, things become more expensive. So, it's important to note that, I guess that the old time that we like to memorialize, that we aren't living in that same period of time because times change, things cost a little bit more.
I don't think so. I think that there's just the greed. Remember before the before this virus hit, I think gas was like maybe at $2.50 a gallon, and oil companies wouldn't. That was just the price because there was such a shortage and everything. But now no one can work and everything. Gas prices are at record low.
Right.
So it's not because there was a shortage. It was because of the greed. If there is no demand, because people weren't buying gas because they can't afford it. They can't go anywhere. They can't work.
Right.
So there is all, now they got all this surplus. And now gas is going, it's shooting down almost to $1 a gallon. So now they're like, well, we have to stop working because we don't want gas to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's so much things are just higher. People are becoming more greedy. And they're thinking, well, I can get more profit out of this. I can give you less and charge you more. Maybe on the other side of this, people will realize that, yes, I understand commerce is great, but fleecing the American people is not the way to go.
Right.
And we should hold these businesses accountable. Because if something as simple as a novel COVID virus can bring down oil companies in which politicians can even touch, then I'm pretty sure that the American people could stand together and do better for themselves.
Well, like you just said, the reason with the oil prices, exactly. The reasons why the oil prices have gone down is because of this crisis. Now when this situation is said and done, it's all over, and we see it rising back, how then are you saying that as an American? How then do you address as a people then being able to stand up? Because at the end of the day,
Because a lot of the prices and stuff on oil is just because the politicians and lobby makers, lobbyists have owned these politicians, oil companies, and really own them so they can get away with what they want to get away with.
Right.
We need to hold, after this is over, I would pray that the American people can come together. See, we're divided on so many issues that we'll suffer together. So let's come together and do better for ourselves and our country.
Right. Now, it's interesting that we've kind of been talking about this because this has gotten into my last question about this affecting business.
Businesses are going to suffer, especially the small businesses, the mom and pop stores.
Well, we've seen that through President Trump's economic stimulus package, that some of those smaller businesses and businesses have been able to get leeways.
No, a lot of, if you really do any in-depth digging, a lot of those loans and stuff have went to big businesses, not the smaller mom and pop stores.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe supersized, like Walmart's and stuff like that. They're getting those. But the mom and pop stores aren't. And those are going to be the hardest hit. Small businesses are really going to take a hit in this. Some of them may not even be able to recover. We have to understand that this is going to be what we're coming back into. A lot of these small mom and pop stores aren't going to recover. And it's a shame. And like I said, I wish that we didn't have to politicize this so much, or even at all. But we're going to have to, and we're going to make it through. It won't be the same as it was on the other side of the building. I mean, on the other side of this, but we will make it through. We're just going to have to stick together. Stop, reach across the divide, because I don't think this virus is determining who you vote for.
Right. And no, it's not determining who you vote for, but it is important to like how you want your future leadership to be able to handle situations like
this. I think everyone, this is kind of something I think we can all agree on. No one wants to die from the virus.
True.
So we all want this, I guess we all want a competent CDC, medical facilities, and
awareness programs that we can have in place that when things like this happen, we'll be prepared for. And like I said, that we actually have, this is America, we actually have some of these things in place. We just need to utilize them. Stop playing political backgammon and like, oh, well, the former administration had this in place, so I'm not going to use it. No, we can't do that. This is about the American people. We have to take care of the American people.
Mm-hmm. All right, and that brings us to the end of our talk, talking about coronavirus in Mississippi. We thank you all for listening, and we hope that you look forward to future episodes here of Mississippi Politics, The Divide. Thank you, and good night.